It is with great joy that I asked Shirley. Now, if you know Shirley, she wanted the opportunity, but I asked her to come up and to share with us today the things that God did and is continuing to do as a result of her missions trip to El Salvador. And when she began to think about this and talk about this, she asked me, she said, "Do you think it's crazy if I do this?" And I said, "Absolutely. But I believe it's God." And so we sent out from this church a missionary who was a little older than most of the missionaries that we usually send out. And so would you welcome her today, okay?
Thanks, everybody. Wow. I have been so excited to share with you about what happened at a momentous time in my life. Some people ask me, why did you go to El Salvador? And, you know, it's just this little dinky country, not even as big as Massachusetts. It's really small. And it happens to be the most dangerous peacetime country in the world, other than like Ukraine or something, but the most dangerous, a lot of gangs and things like that. So, we're ready for the first slide. There we go. Thank you. So, ready to take off. My daughter took me down to the airport, and I'm not aiming this right. We'll try. Pretty soon we'll get to the second slide, I think. That's Melody, my daughter. She's a melody to my heart. We're getting there. Maybe you could just do it from there. Okay. We're getting there so far. So my first stop was L.A., and that was the first time I actually got to see where I'm going. See, it says on the sign there, San Salvador. Yay, that's the capital of El Salvador. I'm really going to do it. Ed, if you'd, okay, there we go. So flying over Southern California, over Mexico, that's a long country, over Guatemala, and then this is my first view of El Salvador, and that was San Salvador, and I noticed it's just starting to become sunrise there, S-U-N, sunrise, and I thought, okay, I want this to be an S-O-N, sunrise, Jesus, the Son of God. So my Uber driver came. He was only 3.5 hours late, but I got used to the little different timing that they have in other countries. But then as we headed out the 2 hours to my host family's house, I started seeing a bunch of these. Now, this is a small set of them. Some of them were like 10 or 12 feet high, a big pile. And I said to Ricardo, my Uber driver, KS, what is it? And he didn't answer me, just didn't talk. But finally he pulled over at one of these places that had piles of these. He went over and talked to the vendor, and came back, there we go, with a plastic bag filled with white liquid and a straw. And he motioned to me, drink it, drink it. Well, I was hoping it was safe. But I drank it. It was coconut juice, coconut milk. It was delicious. And all those things that were piled up were coconuts. Wow, it was pretty cool. Well, I got to my host family's house. There was Patsy. Wow, what a greeting she gave me. She could speak some English. She opened the door, put her arm around me, and said, "Welcome home." I thought, oh man, I just feel really special here. That's great. So I met her and her husband, Joaquin. They were my host family. They had a dog. I just want to introduce you to the rest of them. This dog is Brandy. Brandy is the most wonderful golden retriever. He's just, you know, bouncy, happy, licking your hand. And then there is Ally. Ah, Ally. They told me, and I paid attention to him, never touch Ally the whole month you're here. He'll bite your head off. So, okay. Two very different dogs. Well, then they took me up, introduced me to my bedroom, which is a typical little room with a single bed, and they showed me the shower, which is very, very hot there, but the shower is very, very cold, and they have no hot water at all. So, whoa, those showers were pretty chilly. And here's my closet. I got to at least hang my blouse on there once in a while. It was just one hanger stuck up on the cupboard there. Well, I got a good rest because I'd been awake all night on the plane. It was very scrunched up and uncomfortable. But I got down there, went to sleep, got up the next morning, and gathered my materials. One of them, Steve actually made me a couple hundred of these, and I've got some for you to look at in back. This is my little gospel brochure and a Nuevo Testamento for the New Testament down there. And Patsy told me, you want to talk to a lot of people. Okay, I think maybe a good place to go would be down at the mall. Their malls are different than ours. It was pretty small. There were about 12 stores, but I said, okay, I got my materials, let's go. So we went down there, we got in her car, and she turned left and left and right and left and right and right and left, and then she said, okay, you remember the way to get home? I said, yo pienso, I think so, I'll try. I didn't, I got lost. But she came and rescued me. So, and she told me on the way down, now this area is relatively safe. You gotta be careful. Keep your phone in your pocket so it doesn't get stolen from you, because there's a lot of robbers and murderers around here. Make sure you don't go out on that street. That's where it's really terrible. And I kind of listened to her, but I went out on that street a few times. But I had to get to somebody's house that I was ministering to. It's funny, when I went to this person's house, her name was Olivia, and I met her that day. She was crying, and I said, what's the matter? And her teenage son had disappeared, and it was kind of noisy in the mall, so we decided to go to her house. There are no street names, no house numbers, but I could remember her house because it had a blue door, my favorite color, and across the street was a green wall. So that's how I could find her house. It worked out pretty well. So we'll go on to the next one. One of the people that I met there happened to be a Christian. His name was Morrison. and see what he had in his hand there, a Biblia, a Bible. And when he found out what I was doing, he was all for it, and he said, I've got a Bible here, of course in Spanish, that I'll bet you could find somebody that would really like this Bible. And I said, okay, so keep that in mind as we go along today. And then as I kept going, there were some people that said, taxi, taxi. It's the same word in Spanish. Taxi, taxi. And I said, oh, gracias, pero no. Me gusta caminar. I like to walk. But I gave them all a gospel brochure here. Whoops. Here it was. So that they could read it and told them about Jesus. We couldn't get into it too heavily because they had their business and taxis coming and going. But then, after the dogs, they didn't seem too receptive to what I had to say about Jesus. So I kind of passed them. And I won't go into all these people, but person after person, it was great. Just talking to people about Jesus. These guys were trying to get me to go on a cruise. I said, I'm already on a vacation here, kind of. And then I met Antonio. He's got quite a story. Antonio was sitting on his, just the curb, taking a break from work. And I gave him one of my gospel brochures as well as a Bible, just a New Testament. And he said, no, 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 no. That's pretty much all he said, no. So I said, oh, well, Dios le bendiga. God bless you. Adios. I kept going. I was on my way home then. I rounded the corner. It was about 2 miles back home. And I got about 1 mile, and then I heard some shouting behind me. What's that? And I saw somebody running toward me. I thought, well, it might be a robber. I don't know, but I'll just keep walking. But then it turned out it was Antonio. He had changed his mind. He decided he did want Jesus as his Savior. So he was catching up with me to tell me that he did, and he wanted me to explain to him how to do that, how to have forgiveness of sins, and how to have Jesus in his heart and have eternal life. And then he was ready to pray. And so I called him my first fruits of El Salvador, the first person, actually the very first day that I was out. And that's Antonio. By the way, I have pictures of Antonio as well as the other 9 people that came to Jesus with me there in El Salvador back there. And I'd really appreciate it if you'd like to take one or one each of all of them or whatever and pray for these people, new Christians that need our prayers. We're all in this together. Okay. The next day, we were heading toward church. Wow. This road we were on, it was something else. How about one more? There we go. You can see the other side of the freeway there. That was a freeway, a little smaller than ours, but cars were going like 60 miles an hour. People were switching lanes back and forth. Beep, beep, if somebody wasn't going fast enough. And it was really a dangerous place, and they called this the highway to hell. One of the reasons is because of the pedestrians. The pedestrians, they want from one side to the other, they just walk across. And a lot of them get killed, but they keep doing it. It's like, I could hardly believe it, but they do. You want to stop? Yes. Okay. Thank you. So we made it through the highway to hell. And we saw some people there that maybe they couldn't afford the $1 bus fare to get downtown or wherever they wanted to go. So they would just run along and hop on top, on the back of a pickup or on a bus. There were a bunch of those. I saw about 7 people on the back of a bus just hanging on. They got there. And we got to church. The one in the back row next to me, almost to the left there, that's Victor. He's the pastor. And these mostly young people, they're about 18 to 29 years old. They travel each way 2 hours on a bus to get there to be taught by Antonio. That day we had the 23rd Psalm, and after he taught on it, then he went around to each person. Okay, now how are you going to change your life because of what you just learned? What's going to happen? What difference is it going to make for you? And people would respond, and you know, their lives were really being changed. He was a great pastor. Okay, on the way home, I had my camera out, my phone, and I just thought, well, okay, here's a bus stop. It's kind of interesting. I'll take a picture of that. Patsy, who is very nice and gentle, she grabbed my arm and pulled me down, and pulled my arm down and said, "Put your phone away." Okay. So I did, and then she explained why. About 2 months before, she'd been in a parking lot with her window halfway down because it was pretty hot there, needed a little airflow. And her phone was beside her, and she was just waiting for her husband to come back from something he needed to do in the store. And a gentleman came, not gentleman, a man came beside her, about middle-aged, dressed nicely, passed her, turned around, came back, pulled a knife out of his pocket, put it through the open window, and right up to her throat, and said, "I want your phone." And she gave him the phone. And she said to me, "If people around here in town see that you have a phone, that, you know, and taking pictures, then they'll follow us to the next stoplight and get their knife and put it to your throat to get a hold of that phone. So you don't have that out at all." Well, a day or two after that, I got to go to the La Clinica, the clinic. This, you've probably heard of Joyce Meyer. She happened to have started this clinic. And we went there to visit people that came. It only cost $2 to see the doctor there. It was really great. And can you guess, can anybody here guess what job this person has there? Who wants to guess? Looks like a janitor, right? She's got a mop or something there. Turns out she's a very famous dentist, and she donates her time once a week there for very little money and helps people with their dentistry needs. The people were lining up, and these are the people that I was going to go see. So I knelt down beside each one, or if there was a chair, and the pastor there, or the counselor, said, "Don't, in this culture, don't say, 'Would you like Jesus in your heart?' No, everybody's got Jesus in their heart. They do it every day, every week. You know, then they sin again and they have to do it again because Jesus leaves and he's got to come back." And he said, "No, you want to ask them if they would like forgiveness of sins and if they would like vida eterna, eternal life." And so that's what I did. I just got with one person at a time and talked to them, told them how much Jesus loves them, and how they can have forgiveness of their sins, how they can know the Lord, how they can have eternal life. And Six people responded. I'm just going to tell you who they were. Sandra, Miriam, Anna, Margarita, Ava, Lorena, and Rosa. They all said, see, you know, I want Jesus. So we prayed, and they accepted Jesus into their hearts. It was wonderful. That night, I got home. I was kind of tired, went to bed, but pretty soon I woke up. The whole building was shaking like I have never experienced before. It was a major earthquake. Turned out it was 6 on the Richter scale. That's pretty big. And it was noisy. I could hear the rafters all kind of grinding against each other. So I did the only thing I could think of, being sleepy. Consider me lying down. I put the pillow over me for protection. I hoped if the roof came landing on me, at least I would have this. And also, I thought I could go down. I was in the second story. I could land in the first story. And it was actually kind of scary. I'm not scared of any of the robbers or anything, but I was a little scared of an earthquake. And the next, oh, wait, let me just finish here. This is the same guy, the pastor, Victor. He happened to get me into the clinic too, and he was a counselor. Here he is praying for people. This little boy didn't feel well at all, but I gave him one of these. You can see there, and it says, Jesus loves you. And it's a coloring book. And he really liked that. And just one person after another, this lady was really excited to know Jesus. She was just, yeah. And a little girl here with a tiara, she was a princess. Really sweet, wonderful people. And they were all just really overjoyed to know the Lord now. The next day, I got to go to an English-speaking academy. On the left side there, you see the teacher. She tried to teach the people English, but she had such an accent, and they were really excited that I was there. I didn't know why I was there. I was just told, you're going to the academy, okay? So I went, but it turned out I was the featured speaker. Oh, no idea. So I told them, you know, about America and about Jesus, and we had two classes. There's this one and another one where I got to take the young people out two by two and talk to them. It was just really special. Wow, and I don't know, I hit it off with everybody down there. They loved me and I loved them, and it was just so great. Then when I left, I had to ride a bus. You'd think buses are okay, kind of like around here. No. This bus, I was sitting in the very front seat. I prayed that I wouldn't get catapulted through the front window. This guy, he just going up like a quarter inch just before hitting the bumper in front. He was crazy. Well, I was really glad when it was time to get off that bus. But that wasn't the end. I tried to step off the bus and he started again while I was in midway. And I said, espera, espera, wait, wait. So he waited. And then my friend that was showing me the way grabbed my arm and pulled me off real quick. And then the bus takes off again. Oh, man. If you ever go to El Salvador, don't ride a bus. Well, Patsy, had kind of put her life on hold for me to take me to the clinic and to church and so on. But she had a business, a home business, a baking business. So she enlisted me to be her assistant and kind of catch up. She had a hat like she's wearing there, kept falling off me. So I said, I know what. And I ran upstairs and got my shower cap. And that worked. It kept my hair kind of, you know, tucked in so I wouldn't get hair in the food. And we made, well, first of all, she showed me how to knead the dough. I'm not a great baker or cook. You know, I do okay. But she really got me into it. Kneading the dough, and we baked biscuits, and what's next there? Oh, a cake. She made the most beautiful cake, and I got to help her. That was only about a third of the way done. She just made it so beautiful. And then cookies, very delicious, yummy. It was really fun. Then while we were baking and cooking, she told me the story about her car. The knife to her throat was not enough. A few months before that, they had been just driving slowly along, and a big pickup came and crossed the center line and ran into them and did this to their car. So he came over, and he said, look what you did to my pickup. Well, they didn't do anything, but he did. And he kind of pulls back his jacket, and there was a pistol. And he said, you know, he was making it pretty obvious. And he said, I need some money to fix my truck. Well, they had just been planning to go shopping, and Joaquin had a $100 bill in his pocket, that's all he had, and he didn't want to get shot, so he gave it to the man. By the way, they have no such thing as car insurance in El Salvador, so they, Patsy and Joaquin were just stuck with this car like this and didn't get to buy their food that day. Okay, the next one. It was time for more tortillas. You know, I usually eat equivalent of about 1 to 2 slices of bread per week. I'm just not really into bread. Well, there for breakfast, we had tortillas and eggs. For lunch, you know, we had tortillas and vegetables. For dinner, we had tortillas and more vegetables and a little meat thrown in. So I got to thinking, oh man, in this last week, I have probably eaten 20 to 30 pieces of like bread. I am going to get fat. So, by the way, as it turns out, when I got home, I had lost 5 pounds. That's because I walked a lot, lots of walking, and because I sweat a whole bunch. I even got athlete's foot because as I was walking, my feet were sweating too. And so it was like I was sloshing along in wetness all the time. So I got athlete's foot. But I finally got rid of it. there she is making the tortillas and hearing about Jesus. After I went back home, I heard noise down. There's a park about 2 blocks away, so I walked down there and I just thought I'd show you. This little boy is having a birthday party. You can see he's turning 3 years old. He's so happy, but at their birthday parties, they don't just invite the little friends. They invite the whole neighborhood. So everybody showed up, and they all got a piece of cake, and everybody was happy. Then I decided, this is a little bit of a story here, I decided I'm going to go not just to the mall, I'm going to go to the neighbors right where Patsy and Joaquin lived, and I was just going to go door to door. So I was going to go in my bedroom and get some of the gospel brochures and Bibles. So I tried to go in there, but guess who was there? Ally, the white dog, the mean dog. And I tried to kind of scoot around him. His response was, grrr. So I couldn't get any of my stuff, but I wanted to go out. So I just said, Lord, please help me to know Spanish even better. You know, I'm just going to have to talk to people with nothing else. And so I did. I went to door after door talking to people. It's funny, you don't knock on doors there usually. You go around to the front window and say, Buenas, soy Shirley, I'm Shirley, hi. And then they'll come and open the door. And I got invited into numerous places and made some friends that I'm still in communication with. Then I got down to the end of the block, and it was Wilson's house. Wilson was out with his dog. Wilson was about 70, and he'd been widowed for about 6 years, and he was really lonely, and let me know that he was really lonely. And he saw me, this Americana. This is cool, you know. So the conversation went on. I could tell as it progressed and progressed, he was about to pop the question. And of course, I thought, how can I refuse such a nice man? Of course I should say yes. No, I did not say that. I said, mucho gusto. It's been really nice to meet you. Dios le bendiga. Adios. And I got out of there. The next person I saw, whoops, back up one, please. The next person I saw was Elias. Oh, wow. He was a guard. The whole neighborhood, every neighborhood in that area, has a big wall around it. And there's, you know, tons of homes there. And the guards are there to make sure that there's no bad guys, that there's no robbers, that there's no murders. And he was there, and I really appreciated him and let him know. But as we talked about Jesus a little bit, he didn't know, but he wanted to know. And I thought, I'd really like to get one of the gospel brochures for him and that Bible, because he didn't have a Bible. So I said, he says, please, will you wait here, and I'll go to my house. It's only about 8 minutes away. Please wait. Please, por favor, espera para mí. And he said, sí. So I hurried as fast as I could, and on the way I was praying, oh, Lord, please have Ally in another place when I get there. I don't want him there because I want to get this stuff. So I got there, and I went up to the entrance of my room. Ally was gone. God had answered my prayer. Yay. So I got some of the gospel brochures and the Bible that Morrison had given me early on. And I hurried back to Isaiah. I showed him on the brochure how he could know Jesus and how he could have forgiveness of sins and have eternal life. And he really wanted that. And he prayed right there with me for that to happen. He invited Jesus in his heart. His sins were forgiven. And he was on his way to heaven. He was so excited about it. I had brought extra brochures with me. And he asked for them too so that he could give them to his friends. And of course, I gave them to him. Then I gave him the Bible. I wrote on his name and my name and a little message. And he said, I'll bet you know this Spanish part. He said, "Para mí?" And I said, "Sí, para ti." Yes, this is for you. He loved it. Well, this picture was taken about 2 weeks later. And we ran into each other again. He'd been reading his Bible every day. And he was growing in the Lord. It happened to be near our house. And so I said, I tried to do it in Spanish all the time. Would you like a piece of cake? And so I ran in and got him one. And that's what he's got there, the yummy cake. Okay, we're ready for it. Then along the roadway comes this lady, and her name is Angelina. Sorry, wrong. Angelica. Angelica said, "I've seen you walking back and forth. Why don't you come to my house for dinner?" And I said, "Okay." So we set it up for the next evening. That next day, just before I was going to go over there, I went down to the park. I was just going to do a little studying in my Spanish and a little reading. Well, could we get about the next three along the way? I saw some of the beautiful foliage, and it's really pretty there. They have pretty things. Okay. And while I was there, Angelica came up. And I said, "Oh, hi, Angelica. I'm going to come to your house pretty soon for dinner." And she was glad about that. And she saw my gospel brochure there. She picked it up. I started to explain it a little bit. And she didn't want me talking. She just shut me off. No talking. She just wants to read. So she read the whole thing. And then she got my Bible that was there. Read and read and read. I couldn't say a word. You know, I wanted to, but nope. She just wanted to read. And then when she was done, she set it down and looked at me like, "Okay, now it's your turn," she was saying. So I explained it all to her about Jesus and about his love and how she could go to heaven someday. And she didn't need to carry around all her sins. She could be forgiven. And she said, "See, yes, that's what I want." And we prayed right there on the picnic bench. Then we went over to her house, and she fed me my first time of ever having yuca. And she thought it was really special. Kind of. I ate it. I ate it. And I said, wonderful. Okay, Ed. And the next day, I was going back to the mall for a while, going along to the various tiendas. They're kind of like 10 by 10, approximately, little tiny stores. Well, this lady knew that I wanted a ice cream bar, because again, it was 97 degrees and way humid, and so I just needed something, and I gave her the dollar, and she was fumbling around trying to get some change, and finally came up with it and gave me a quarter back. It was only 75 cents, but I said, "No, para ti, you keep it," and she didn't understand. Nobody ever did that, but I finally got her to take it, and she was like, "Yay!" She got an extra quarter. Then that same day, I got to stop by this truck. I love this truck. The people in there really liked me. You can see the lady's a little on the hefty side. I'm not very hefty. So she decided my name was Barbie. So she always called me Barbie. I got some of their good stuff there. She, the police would come by periodically and tell her, where's your permit? And she said, I don't have one. And they'd say, well, you can't be here. You have to leave. So she would leave. And the police car would also leave. She would go around the block and come right back. She couldn't afford a permit. They were too expensive. She was barely making enough as it was. Then I was, let's see if you can read something in Spanish. See this word? I was going around door to door, and I told the person at the door, you know, kind of explaining the gospel. And I said, well, we have one problem, and that is pescado. And she just started laughing at me. So why is she laughing at me? It's because the word is pecado, not pescado. That extra S makes it mean fish. The problem is fish. No, pecado, sin. That's why she was laughing so much. Well, as I was going around door to door, I don't have a picture of this, but one of the guards starts riding his bike over next to me. And I thought, uh-oh, maybe it's against the rules over here to go door to door. But no. He was just coming to say hi. So I got to talk to him too. It was just great. And pretty soon he prayed. And he accepted Jesus as his Savior. It was just fantastic. It was such an open harvest field there. I was just so blessed. Then I want to introduce you to some of the animals. I couldn't get closer than this. This is the one before is kind of like a rat, but it doesn't have any hair. I don't really know what it is. But it crawls quickly through the streets and hides out in the broken water pipes. So that was one of the animals there. And another one, every time Patsy would see one of these, she'd just go berserk. Because it's not like little grasshoppers that we have. They're giants, man. Well, I just about went berserk on the next one. It looks kind of small there, but no way. It is not small. It came running across the living room. Ah, have you ever heard that song? La cucaracha, la cucaracha. This is a cucaracha. Ah, it was so creepy and so big, and Patsy and I both screamed. I don't usually do that, but and we were hiding. Oh, back up, please, to stay on the cucaracha right now. And so it got under the chair, and then it crawled under the couch, and then it crawled under another chair. And we thought, we got to get this. Patsy sprayed it. It didn't do any harm at all. Finally, she took off her shoe. And when it darted out the next time, she went wham! And bingo! She got it! One dead cucaracha. We were very, very glad. Okay, next slide. It's now this one I loved. They would go running up on the top of the walls. You've all seen the Geico commercial, right? Well, this is its cousin. And it lives down there along with its brothers and sisters. And it's just so cute, a little gecko. So sweet. This one happened to be running on the floor, and Joaquin was able to pick it up. And I took its picture. I loved that little guy. And then, of course, there are cows. Whenever there's a little piece of grass, the cows decide it's a good place to munch down a little bit. There's one more animal I don't have a picture of. I am going to try to tell you what it sounded like, okay? Every morning at 4 o'clock, it thought it was a rooster, and it sounded like this. About like that. It was a cat. And every morning it was after its girlfriend, I guess. Every morning at 4 o'clock, you could always just figure it out. Okay, time to wake up, I guess. Wow, it was crazy. Okay, they tried to feed me real well, and of course I paid room and board. And there was one day, though, that they were about out of anything to eat, and I heard them talking. You just didn't hardly have any food left. Well, you guys really blessed me a lot. And I so appreciate that you gave me quite a bit of money to go down there and be able to help out where I could. And it was such a blessing. This day I said to them, hey, I understand we're running a little short on food. I've got an extra $100. Can we just go down to the grocery store and buy some things? Yes, they were on it. We went down to the grocery store and bought $100 worth of groceries. They just so appreciated it way much. And let's see. I was having a blast. I just loved what I was doing. In spite of the heat, I loved it. So I took a picture of myself. I even took a triple picture of myself in the mirror. I just thought, I'm having so much fun. I love it. I love it. But it was time to say goodbye. It was the last night there. I went and said goodbye to my hefty friend that called me Barbie. And I was about to say goodbye to Patsy. There was a knock at the door. This time somebody actually knocked. They opened the door, or I opened the door, and they said in Spanish, I have something for you. It happened to be Thanksgiving Day, and they gave me a plate of newly cooked, delicious, hot food. Wow. And it just really touched me because I loved the people there. I loved them. And then I could see they loved me too. Oh, man. It just so blessed me. And I said to her, mi corazón está feliz. My heart is happy. And I gave her a big hug. And I know she loved that. It was reciprocated there. It was great. Well, it was 1:30 a.m. the next day, and I did go and give Patsy that final hug goodbye, and I cried. It's hard to leave there. One thing I thought is, all this time that I'd been there, I kind of felt like I was in this huge bubble. I could reach out through the bubble to bless all kinds of people. But nobody could get inside the bubble to cause me any harm. Nothing bad ever happened to me. And it could have. I mean, it's all around there. There's danger. But God just protected me, put me in kind of a bubble. So some people, well, let's go ahead on the next one. See the angel going right by the plane when I'm actually leaving and going on back? I'm saying goodbye to my wonderful country, El Salvador. And the last one, just adios, goodbye. I'll miss you. Some people say, are you ever going to return there? And here's my answer. In a heartbeat, I would do it. But I may not, and that's okay. I've realized even more so that right out here on 8th Street is totally a mission field. You don't have to go to another country. You might. God might call you there. If you're a teenager, he might. If you're almost 78, he might. And that's good. But he doesn't have to, and you don't have to feel like you should. Because you're potentially, we are potentially missionaries right here. And that's what we want to be. We want to be out there doing missionary work, which isn't complicated. It's telling people that Jesus loves them. It's being there for their needs. It's living in our, both just in our day-to-day lives and in our words, in a way that Jesus calls us to do, to get the word out there to everybody that they can have eternal life. They can know God, not just know about God. They can know God. He can be their friend, and they can be forgiven. So, there are pictures in back of the people that came to Jesus while I was there, that I helped come into the Lord. Please take one. And I'm sure there are probably questions, so afterwards, you're welcome to ask any. I would like to pray right now, okay? Okay, Lord, thank you that you love us and you're here for us. You're not just here for them in El Salvador. You're here for us and for our neighbors. Okay, I want to do something different. If you feel like maybe you don't yet know for sure where you're going to spend eternity, would you pray this prayer with me, not out loud, but in your heart? And if you mean it, you can change your destiny. So we're just going to pray together. Heavenly Father, I know that I have sinned, and I'm sorry for those sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to set me free, to bring forgiveness for those sins. Thank you that I can know you. You can be my friend. And you can take me to heaven someday. So I just receive you into my heart. And I will try to obey you, read your word, see what it says, and then do what it says. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. And I'm now your child. In Jesus' name. If there's anybody here that prayed that in your heart, please, for sure, tell somebody. Tell me. Tell Pastor Steve. Tell a good friend. That's really important. And then get out your Bible and start reading it. It's good stuff. And let's all be missionaries. Let's be out there. Not only on 8th Street right here, but in our own neighborhoods. God planted us there because those people need what we have to tell them. Amen. Thank you.
Don't you want to be just like Shirley? That was fun. Thank you. You want to be called Barbie? Is that what you just said? Okay, moving on. God is good, though. And you know what? If Shirley, at the age of 77, was that how old you were when you left? Yep. Can go somewhere around the world or down the world, you can do it right here at home. You can do it right here at home because God has called us to be light and salt to those that are in our lives. And so I would just encourage you, what a great story. What a great story. And I like the way God answers prayers, okay? Because not only did a lot of people come to Jesus, and we were praying that, but one of the things I specifically prayed for Shirley while she was there was that God would put her in a bubble and protect her. And for her to say that was kind of cool because that's the exact picture that God gave me to pray for you, Shirley, was that you would feel like you were in that bubble and you were protected. And you know what? She was crazy for doing what she did. But she followed Jesus, okay? And sometimes Jesus asks us to do what seems like a little crazy, okay? But what a great opportunity you had, and we had through you. We got to do that with you, and that was exciting. And for the first couple of weeks, or 10 days maybe, she tried to keep us informed, and then it was like dead silence. One day I go, Shirley, are you alive? But anyway, thank you, Shirley. Let's stand. Father God, we're grateful and thankful for the time that we've had together today to be in your house and to experience your presence and your goodness. God, we thank you for all of these young people and older people and people that wanted to marry her. And we pray right now, God, that you would be with each one of them. We pray that they not only would surely be a mentor over the airwaves, so to speak, but they would find people to mentor them there also. God, we thank you for your goodness, for your graciousness. And Lord, today we lift up, there are needs in this body, Lord. There are needs in people's hearts that they haven't even said anything. And God, I pray that right now you would go to each one of those people, each one of those situations, and you would speak your peace to their heart and to their mind right now. God, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Greet one another.